It's time for the VolQuest podcast, where we dissect the biggest news items of the week.
Hey, good Tuesday morning, everybody. Welcome to the VolQuest podcast. I am Eric Kane with Grant Ramey, Rob Lewis, and Matt Ray. We're presented, as always, this podcast by our friends over at Exterior Home Solution. They've been local. They've been trusted since 1999. Go ahead and give them a call today if you have any need for roofing, siding, windows, or a garage. This weather this past weekend, obviously, don't want to state the obvious here, but a lot of flooding, some damage maybe to your home. If you have any needs, you can contact Exterior Home Solutions today. Again, that phone number is 865-524-5888. You can visit them online at exteriorhomesolutions.com. Got a lot to get into here today. Of course, Tennessee was off this past weekend. So for most of you guys, I would imagine you sat back and relaxed a little bit, hung out with the family, watched some football. An upset with Kentucky over Ole Miss, probably the game of the year to this point, Alabama and Georgia. A lot to go on, but we'll start with Arkansas at Texas A&M. Rob, Arkansas looked to be in control early on in that football game, had three leads in that football game, but gave it up. And, of course, Tennessee's going to be in Fayetteville this weekend. What did you see from the Hogs in Arkansas against Texas A&M, kind of from a Tennessee perspective heading into this weekend?
Yeah, not a big surprise. Watched a lot of the Oklahoma State game, watched a good bit of it against Auburn, and just, you know, pretty pedestrian. I mean, Taylen Green can definitely, you know, make some plays, but, you know, he's also, you know, very turnover prone. He's got five interceptions and four touchdowns. Just, you know, outside of him and, you know, getting outside of the pocket and making things happen, to me, you know, this is not rocket science. They just, you know, don't look very electric, you know, offensively. You know, in the passing game, and just I like this matchup for Tennessee. I mean, at home, I would expect Arkansas to play tough. I mean, their backs to the wall. They are not going to want to start out, you know, 1-2 in SEC play. Certainly, you know, Coach Pittman is motivated, but man, I mean, they just don't look to me crisp enough offensively to handle the smoke that Tennessee is going to give them. Now, defensively, you know, I think they're sound. I mean, I don't think Texas A&M is very good, but they're very electric, but you know, there's sound on that side of the ball. I don't know that Tennessee's going to, you know, score 50 points this weekend, but I think Tennessee's substantially better than this team.
Yeah, Grant, you look at Arkansas in the two SEC games the last 2 weeks. Defensively, they've given up a combined 31 points. That's not bad. And Josh Heupel spoke Monday about how with Arkansas, it starts defensively. They're playing like one of the best units in the country. They're aggressive in the back end. I think they forced 7 turnovers. They're really good on third downs. You know, we'll get back to the offense here in a moment, but defensively, yeah, to Rod's point, maybe you don't score 50, but it's a pretty stout unit, kind of like going into the Oklahoma game. I don't think this defense is nearly as good as Oklahoma's, but that's kind of what they're hanging their hat on so far.
That's what I was going to say. It kind of feels like almost a run it back at Oklahoma, where you're facing a tough defense and you're going on the road. You're expecting it's going to be a night game. Losing the week before kind of takes some air out of the home crowd you would expect, but still, you're going on the road. And every time you go on the road, every game you win, the next one becomes a little bit bigger, a little bit more pressure to kind of keep doing what you've been doing. And Tennessee's going to have to take care of the ball, and they don't have to score 50. That's the thing. 2021, 2022, you had to score a lot of points to win a football game for your Tennessee. Now you can go to Oklahoma and be up 22-3 in the second half and be in control because you know what your defense is going to do. You know what the defense has done through the first four games. So, you know, you kind of feel good about matching up with another tough defense like they did at Oklahoma, and you're fine having ball control and run the football and kind of forcing it with Dylan Sampson if you have to go that way, not putting it all on the shoulders of your redshirt freshman quarterback, Nico. Don't put it on Nico's shoulders and just go from there. Like, you don't have to. You can match defenses, and that's fine.
Matt, you look at that secondary for Arkansas and some familiar names in terms of the recruiting circles. Tennessee wasn't heavily in on these brothers, but TJ Metcalf is one of the safeties. His brother, I believe his name is Tevis Metcalf, he backs up DeNico Slaughter, former Vol, at the nickelback spot. But those guys, you got Metcalf, TJ, he's got three interceptions. You got two veteran safeties there, you know, Jaden Johnson being the other one. They play kind of a rotation at cornerback. With Jaheim Singletary, who's got an interception, Marquise Robinson's got four pass breakups. Again, you've got Landon Jackson up front, who's a pretty good player off the edge. But in the back end, I think it's going to be a nice little challenge for Nico and these Tennessee wide receivers.
Yeah, I think so, Eric. Like you said, you know, a group of guys that are experienced, they're turnover happy guys, so they're going to try to make some plays. So for Nico, you know, he can do some things with his eyes to create separation, I think, for Tennessee. And he does some things really well with just, you know, that aspect naturally. But on the edge, I think the Jaheim Singletary matchup is an interesting one for Tennessee, right? A guy that was at Georgia before, a lot of length, transferred, you know, a guy that was really coveted coming out of the high school rank. So how does he match up with a Dante Thornton, a guy that's been really good at creating explosives for Tennessee? So I think Tennessee gets creative, but, you know, I tend to agree with Rob. I don't think this is an Arkansas offense that is explosive enough, electric enough to, you know, really force this into a shootout. And I think Tennessee can comfortably score enough points to win this game. It's probably not 50, but it wouldn't surprise me if it's 38.
You mentioned Singletary being a Georgia transfer. Xavien Sory, the linebacker, also a Georgia transfer, started two games for the Bulldogs a season ago. And he's a leading tackler by a long shot, 32 tackles, got four TFLs. Again, a pretty solid, to this point, you know, defense for Arkansas. Did give up 39 points in a double overtime loss on the road to Oklahoma State, but both of those teams tried so hard to lose that game.
My thing with Arkansas, though, is like, I went into that A&M game like trying to figure out this football team. I don't think you can still figure out this football team at this point, because how many leads did you say they had against A&M? Three?
They had three.
They couldn't hold on to them?
Yeah.
And they've forced turnovers, but they've been turnover prone themselves. Like that Oklahoma State game, I think they scored 21 in the first quarter and a half, and they scored 10 the rest of the way through two overtimes. Like they scored 70 against Pine Bluff, which you would expect, but it's just a hard football team to figure out.
Yeah, 3 points in the second half last week against A&M offensively, so that's not good.
You don't want to be the team where they figure it out against, basically. Guard against that.
Yeah, no doubt. 9 turnovers offensively, and you go back to that offensive side of the football, Rob, and it's a quarterback and you know, Taylen Green, transfer from Boise State. And tell me if this is fair or foul. I said this earlier on my Locked On Vols show, I think it was on Monday, that he's probably the most talented, you know, best quarterback to date that Tennessee will have seen. Thought it was going to be Grayson McCall. That was not the case. And give Tennessee's defense credit for that and for Jackson Arnold, who got benched in the second quarter. But, you know, Taylen Green is kind of feast or famine, right? He can make plays. He can make plays on with his legs. He can make plays through the air. But when you pressure him and you make him, you know, quick up, make him make his speed up his decision-making process, bad things can happen for that offense. So I think Tennessee, it's a great opportunity defensively to try to get after him for some of those bad turnovers and, you know, take control of the game that way, because he can hurt you a little bit, but also he can help you because he's been a bit inconsistent to date.
Well, he's not been very accurate at all. I mean, some of that is offensive line woes. He's been sacked 12 times, or they've given up 12 sacks. I'm not, you know, some of those might've been on a backup and in garbage time, but he's completing just a little over 50% of his passes. And, you know, he can be dynamic, but as you said, he can also, you know, he can help the defense out. So, I mean, I think that plays into Tennessee's hands with the way they pressure the quarterback, you know, the way they'll be able to force him out of structure. And I just don't think he's going to have a lot of time to you know, to make decisions and, you know, a lot of time, you know, avoiding. I think Tennessee has some guys that are going to be chasing him where he's not going to be creating, you know, an extra second and a half.
Yeah, Jaquindon Jackson, the running back, Matt, a transfer from Utah, really good player, currently leading the SEC in rushing. I think if Dylan Sampson would have played all the quarters so far this season, of course, just had a bye week, I think, you know, obviously Dylan Sampson would be up there. But Jaquindon Jackson's been a really good pickup at running back for Utah. And also with Taylen Green, and this was kind of a point of emphasis from Josh Heupel and some of the Tennessee players on Monday, gap integrity is going to be huge, because the ability for Taylen Green to run the football makes those numbers right and puts Jackson in a really good situation to, you know, get a box that's a little light or whatever. Give him credit, he's a really good player, but I think this run game, something that Arkansas has done really well, they've got 18 rushing touchdowns already this season. That's double, get this, that is double the amount of rushing touchdowns they had a season ago. They had an SEC low of 9 in 2023, but with a combination of Jackson and, of course, the quarterback Taylen Green, gap integrity, setting the edge, spying the quarterback, all that type of stuff is going to play into this game plan for Tim Banks and Tennessee's defense.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, I think, Eric, even when you look back, I mean, you look at Tennessee's defense for what it is now, and through four games, it's been elite, playing at a really high level. I think even when you look back from the time that Josh Heupel got here, Rodney Garner's unit up front has produced tackles for losses at a really high clip. They've done things really well, and most of that's because they are so gap sound. They play really good gap integrity football. They do a good job of setting the edge. They got a lot of length. Now they've got bodies that can continuously do that. I think it's something that Arkansas, especially under a guy like Sam Pittman, an offensive line guru, they want to hang their hat on that. I just don't think you can hang it there this week. I really don't. I think what Tennessee does up front for Arkansas in the front seven with those two linebackers that are going to start the game, and then that rotation piece from there on out are going to be key for Tennessee. I think this is a great early test for a guy like Arion Carter, who's probably going to get an assignment spying Taylen Green. He's going to get that same assignment with a guy like Jalen Milrow in a few weeks, and you know, possibly DJ Lagway. We'll see what Florida does when they come to town in Neyland and who's the quarterback there. But I think this is a great early test for a guy like Arion Carter with him. And I think so much of what he's able to do takes away some of those lighter numbers in the box for Arkansas.
And just a quick pinprick into the Arkansas run numbers. 8 of those rushing touchdowns came against Arkansas Pine Bluff. 8 of those 18.
There you go. So the stats don't tell the whole story. So I'm glad you pointed that out right there. Another interesting little tidbit here, just looking at the stats and kind of evaluating this team. Their field goal kicker, Kyle Ramsey, 6 of 10 on the year. He's 4 of 8 from distances 40 to 49 yards. He's 1 of 1 from 50-plus. I think it was a 51-yarder. But very inconsistent in terms of field goal kicking for Arkansas so far this year. So something to be paying attention to. Anything else from Arkansas that maybe you picked up watching that game against A&M this past weekend? Anybody, feel free to jump in or anything else on this game. We're going to talk about it ad nauseum, you know, throughout the week. But anything else on Arkansas before we move on to what we thought from Georgia and Alabama?
I mean, just box score wise, I don't think Taylen Green ran it as much as I thought he would, or he wasn't nearly as productive as I thought he was going to be rushing in terms of what he did the first 3 weeks, maybe compared to what he did against A&M. And I kind of went into the Oklahoma game thinking, don't let Jackson Arnold beat you with his legs. But this front's, you know, pressure has been so consistent and all over the place, regardless of who's in the game, that, you know, plays don't really break down that much and quarterbacks try to get out of the pocket because there's not really a ton of clean pockets for quarterbacks to sit in against this Tennessee defensive front. So I think maybe you do need to spy him at times, but also I kind of went into the Oklahoma game thinking the same thing. And Jackson Arnold was obviously ineffective that way, and I thought they did a pretty good job against Michael Hawkins in the second half, even when they didn't have their, you know, starting defense on the field. So that was kind of my one takeaway, was I expected him to do more on the ground, and that was the concern kind of going in anytime you face a quarterback that can get out of the pocket and run. But if Tennessee can get that consistent pressure that we've seen, if Texas A&M can neutralize it, I think Tennessee can neutralize it as well.
Yep, I would agree with that, no doubt. You've got Arkansas on the road this week. You go back home to take on Florida next week, and of course that kickoff time's already been announced, 7 o'clock, and another night game for Tennessee. The following week will be the third Saturday in October, Tennessee versus Alabama. And then later on down that schedule, you see there, Kentucky, Mississippi State, then it's at Georgia in November. I believe that's the 16th. But Alabama and Georgia squared off this past weekend. And what we thought was going to be a really, really good game was not a good game in the first half. It was all Alabama. Alabama scored 28 straight points. Trevor Etienne scored for Georgia, making it 28-7. Alabama went into the halftime break after getting a safety, leading 30-7. But then Georgia hit that comeback trail, scored a touchdown, went for two, got it. Alabama tacked on a field goal, 33-15 at one point, and then Georgia scored 3 straight touchdowns in the fourth quarter, the last of which only to be answered immediately from 17-year-old Ryan Williams on a one-play 75-yard drive. It was Alabama that started hot and held on and made the play when it counted later on. Not a lot of defense in this football game, but a really entertaining football game to watch for, you know, college football fans.
Yeah, I mean, a Volquester reminded me this weekend that in one of the Monday night chats, I had answered a question about which, you know, SEC newcomer I was most excited to see that was non-Tennessee related. And I'd said Ryan Williams, and you know, just thinking that at the time he was 17, still is 17. He'll be 17 until February, and they're going to talk about him being 17 probably until next July. But anyways, yeah, what he was able to do on Saturday night, I think, was one incredible. But this start for Alabama was just something that we haven't seen against a Georgia team. And I mean, I don't know when, probably when Auburn beat them, you know, on the Plains the year that they were able to avenge that loss in the SEC championship. But, you know, I think for me, it was pretty interesting just to watch both of those football teams, because it felt like at times you saw that championship level play that you would expect from both of them. And then at times it was like, both these teams are gettable. I mean, that first quarter, you know, for Georgia, if that happens against anybody else, I don't know that they claw out any other time, but then Alabama just goes either very vanilla or I have to think very vanilla, but either way, it wasn't the best game plan. It wasn't, you know, something that you were able to execute like Tennessee was able to execute when they pulled back a little bit against Oklahoma. So I felt like, you know, going into this game, you would learn a lot about both of those teams. It just wasn't what I expected to learn, I don't think. They're both gettable, but man, it still feels like there's some big question marks for both of those teams. How does the Alabama secondary evolve by the time that they come to Knoxville? What does Georgia's offense do? Because if Georgia's offense is Carson Beck dropping back and throwing the football 50 times, I don't know that it's going to work for them. I don't know that they have the playmakers. It did work downfield some, but you know, to what extent is that going to continue to work throughout this season? I don't know. Very, very interesting, very fun football game to watch, though.
And I do think that game plan, Rob, for Georgia in this football game was kind of altered a little bit. Now, you dug your own self in a hole, right, because you couldn't play defense in the first half. But being down 28-0, you were forced to go to the air. I mean, I don't think Carson Beck's throwing it 50 times if it's a, you know, 17-17, 24-21 ball game in the second half. But Georgia just kind of, I don't want to say abandoned the run, because they still ran it, 26 times, but didn't even have 100 yards rushing. But I think a lot of that kind of played in to how the game was going. And I'm with Matt. I mean, Carson Beck's dropping back, throwing 45 to 50 times in a ball game. That is not good for Georgia, but it's what had to happen in that football game because of the deficit.
Yeah, I was surprised that, you know, the line of scrimmage, how Alabama, you know, really controlled that, especially in the early going. And that it's, yeah, I guess it's hard to say, did Georgia abandon the run, you know, because of the score, or you know, could they not run the football? I mean, you just mentioned, Aaron, I mean, they still didn't get 100 yards with, you know, 20-something rushes. So, you know, at best, I mean, they couldn't dominate Alabama up front. So I was just, I guess my biggest takeaway was, I mean, I think both those teams will get a lot better. I mean, they're obviously talented. I mean, you got a lot of young kids rolling in there into new spots that are, you know, were the current five stars are coming in and replacing the former five stars. So, you know, they're still figuring some things out. So both those teams will get a lot better. But my biggest takeaway is that Tennessee could beat both those teams. I mean, I don't know. I'm not saying they will beat both those teams, but it would not be some crazy upset for Tennessee to win either one of those games. And I will say this, after watching a lot of football on Saturday, I don't think Josh Heupel would trade quarterbacks with any team in the SEC.
I like what Matt said, where they both looked elite for stretches and they both looked very human for stretches. I mean, that Ryan Williams play, what are you going to do? That there's a really famous clip of Reggie Bush against Fresno State. Y'all remember that? At the Coliseum, probably whatever year that was, I don't know, 05. And he's running towards the sideline and all these defenders in pursuit, and he just stops and the defenders go past him and he runs around them. I mean, that stop and start that Ryan Williams had after making that catch was kind of Reggie Bush like. And yeah, he's 17, he's going to be 17 forever, and everybody's going to talk about it. I think they're both and if Jalen Milroe's playing at that level, I mean, who's going to beat that team? That's a really hard team to beat when he's going for 450 total yards and four touchdowns or whatever the numbers are. But at the same time, you get up 28-0, 30-7 at halftime, and you let a team come back and take the lead on you, you know, on your home field. That means you're a little bit human. If they let their foot off the gas, so, you know, so be it. For Georgia to come back the way they did, you know, that's just as impressive as the start was worrisome. But at the same time, you know, Texas kind of didn't do all that much against Mississippi State. It felt like, you know, obviously Kentucky did what Kentucky did against Ole Miss at Ole Miss. It feels like there's not a team that's way ahead of the others, like head and shoulders above the others. And Kalen DeBoer's no dummy. He's won games because he's a really good football coach. He's going to be a good football coach. Is he going to win 9 SEC titles and 6 national championships? Probably not, like Saban did. But they're going to keep winning football games. They're going to keep recruiting at a high level, just like Georgia is with Kirby. And they're going to be two tough teams. But like Matt said, I think they looked elite at times, both of them. I think they both looked human at times.
I think Jalen Milroe, man, I didn't learn this last weekend. Obviously, he's been making some plays the last couple of years. He's a really good college quarterback. Now, when he gets rattled and he's off, he's off. But that doesn't happen. That's few and far between, right? But when he takes over a football game like he did the other night, his ability to run the football, I mean, he looks like a tight end. He's got a really, really good arm. He's going to be an issue. And it's kind of like when you go back to 2022, you know, Tennessee beat Alabama. You know, Bryce Young, who was, by the way, very questionable in that football game. We were all down there with binoculars looking in pregame warm-up, see how he was throwing. Very questionable. He still went off, but you found a way to win the football game. So, like, in a couple of weeks when Tennessee plays Alabama, Matt, Jalen Milroe is going to have a game. He's going to make some plays. You know, can you allow him – Can you negate him from taking over the football game? You know, that's the question, because he's going to rattle off a run. He's going to break contain. He's going to make some throws. You know, having gone against quarterbacks like Jackson Arnold and this week, you know, Taylen Green for the linebackers, Keenan Peely and Arian Carter, I think, don't get me wrong, those guys are not Jalen Milroe, but I do kind of go back to what you said. I think that's going to be like a good little preview for kind of how you're going to have to play Jalen Milroe and try to slow him down, because that's going to be the goal. You're not going to shut him down. Be great if you did, but you need to slow him down.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole deal with a guy like Jalen Milroe, a guy like Ron Williams. You see it in the NFL. You see it in college football. You try to slow those guys down. You try to limit what they're able to do. You don't want them to be able to take over a game. You know, and the thing for Tennessee in years past, I think, is the fact that to do that, they've had to overcommit. They've had to oversell to do that. Now they have the depth pieces, the pieces kind of across the board to be able to do some of that, to slow those guys down without overcommitting. So I agree with Grant. I agree with Rob. I think the one big thing that you take away from this weekend from that game is that Tennessee, it's not going to be some shocking upset if Tennessee beats those, either one of those teams. You know, Georgia on the road is going to be tough. They could have another loss. If they lose to Texas, they could be playing for their playoff life, which could make that game even tougher. You know, we've seen what a Kirby Smart team with its back against the wall can do. You know, Kalen DeBoer is obviously going to be welcomed, you know, to the SEC, to that road environment. Neyland Stadium is going to find out exactly what the third Saturday in October is all about. But I think ultimately, as both of those teams continue to grow and evolve, like Rob said, you're going to have five stars replacing the five stars. For Tennessee, it's about limiting those explosives and creating some of your own, and they can do that. There's no doubt about it. So I think, you know, as this season kind of continues to play out, for Tennessee over the next 2 weeks, you've got two games that are more than gettable, two games that you're big favorites in. You've got to take care of business, and you should get some work in for both of those games that we're talking about.
We'll briefly touch on Ole Miss falling to Kentucky and some more takeaways. Rob kind of hit it moments ago saying his biggest takeaway from that Alabama-Georgia game was, hey, Tennessee might not, but Tennessee can win both of those football games. Overall takeaways from this weekend as it pertains to Tennessee. That and a couple more items here when we return on the VolQuest podcast. Do want to tell you about our friends that's over at Game Time. You can download the Game Time app or go to gametime.co. Put in the promo code ON3. Promo code ON3. You're going to get $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create that account. Put in the promo code ON3 for $20 off. What is the Game Time app? Well, it is an app. It is a website to where you can buy tickets to events in your area. Tennessee is about to come back home to Neyland Stadium after this road trip for about a month. A lot of action going on at Neyland Stadium. You can go and buy your tickets to see Tennessee football in action. Basketball is coming up at the Food City Center here. Before you know it, you can go see Tennessee basketball. Lady Vols play Lindsey Nelson Stadium. Renovated partially Lindsey Nelson Stadium coming up this spring. But not only sports tickets. You can go buy concert tickets. You can go buy comedy shows. You know, the Tennessee Theater, the Bijou downtown, all that and more. Tickets are available for entertainment in your area on the Game Time app. So go to Game Time, download the Game Time app, put in that promo code ON3 for $20 off your first purchase. Check out the lowest price guarantee, all-in pricing, Game Time ticket coverage, the most flexible customer service policy in the ticketing industry, all that and more on Game Time. Download Game Time today. Last-minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. And as always, do you want to give a shout-out to our friends over at Exterior Home Solutions.
Hey, Stalin, man, come on, we got a roof to replace.
Let's go, baby. Let's go.
Hey, Sterl, you ready to go to the top?
Man, I can't believe you guys been doing this for 25 years.
Oh, baby!
Now, this is what I call a rooftop party.
We have 25 years experience in roofing and exterior renovations, and we're backed by the best.
Are you ready to get your rooftop party started? Give us a call, 865-524-5888.
Big shout out, as always, to our presenting sponsors, Exterior Home Solutions, local and trusted since 1999. That phone number again, if you have a need, 865-524-5888 or online at exteriorhomesolutions.com. All right, we continue to look around at the SEC from this past weekend. Tennessee was off, and how these games pertain to Tennessee. We've talked about the game of the year so far, Georgia and Alabama. We talked about Tennessee's next opponent, Arkansas falling to Texas A&M. We're not going to hit all these games, but I do want to visit the upset. That's Kentucky over Ole Miss. Boys, is Kentucky kind of good? Is Ole Miss very much overrated? Is it a little bit of both? I don't think Kentucky's great, but Grant, you're shaking your head here. They took Georgia to the brink a couple weeks ago after getting smacked by South Carolina, and then you take it to Ole Miss on the road. I do think Ole Miss is overrated a little bit, but where are you at on Kentucky right now?
I have no idea where I am on Kentucky because of that 31-7 South Carolina
That's
score.
That's exactly right, Grant. Continue.
In Lexington, after South Carolina struggled to beat Old Dominion at home the week before, I mean, they thoroughly dominated Kentucky in that game. I guess that was week two. And since then, Kentucky, you know, probably should have beat Georgia at home if you go for it instead of putting it away and never get the ball back. I mean, and to go to, Ole Miss probably a little bit overrated, but I think Ole Miss is still pretty good. I thought their offensive numbers were pretty insane through the first four games or however many games they played before Kentucky. And then to just score, 17 points at home in that game, 11 a.m. local time. I don't know how you don't get up for that game. Like that, and that's going to be a big result down the road for somebody in the SEC that's trying to get a playoff, get in the 12-team playoff. That's going to be a big deal that Ole Miss lost to Kentucky at home. It could be for Tennessee. It could be for whoever. Like, you lose those games early in the season that you shouldn't have lost, those are going to matter. Like Rick Barnes says, you think a loss doesn't matter in November, just wait till March and see what it looks like. That's going to be a big loss down the road. I think Kentucky, I don't know, I guess they've woken up since that South Carolina game. That defense is suddenly something. I don't know how to figure out this team because I just keep going back to that South Carolina game.
Ole Miss might not be very good on the offensive line. Defensive line, they got some players and all that. Kentucky kind of got drug around there first bit of the first quarter, but Kentucky really responded well as the game went along. Rob, I think I thought this going into the season, but seeing now Ole Miss taking a bad loss, say Ole Miss finishes the season 10-2, Tennessee finishes the season 10-2. Tennessee's getting in over Ole Miss because your two losses for Tennessee would likely be Alabama, Georgia. Not saying Tennessee's going to lose both of those, but this loss for Ole Miss really hurts in terms of if you're on that bubble watch, whereas, you know, Tennessee's schedule with the games remaining, Tennessee would kind of get that tip of the cap there. I mean, I thought we knew this kind of going into the year, but it kind of validates now Tennessee controls its own destiny in the best way possible, and it can even afford a slip up or two against quality competition. You just cannot do. You can't do what Ole Miss did, losing to a team that you should be beating. And Grant, I don't know what the spread was, but I would imagine Ole Miss was, gosh, almost a 2-touchdown favorite against
Something
Kentucky
like
at
that.
Home.
It was 15.5.
Yeah.
I think.
You think?
but it's a brutal loss. I mean, and Eric, you're right. I mean, that's one you can't have. I mean, think of the difference in Tennessee had to go win that game at Oklahoma, and think about the possibilities that opened up for them. You know, now, just like you said, they've got some margin for error. You know, they can lose at home to Alabama, and it's not the end of the world. Ole Miss, margin for error out the window when you drive it into the ditch like they did against Kentucky. And, you know, for the offense for me was, I mean, obviously that's not exactly breaking new ground here, but the way Kentucky bottled them up and really limited the explosive plays, I didn't think they could do that to them. I mean, I'm, you know, not surprised that Ole Miss couldn't drive it, you know, 80 yards, 12 plays, 6 or 7 times, but the fact that they really limited the chunk plays was, you know, the downfall. I mean, Ole Miss was, I looked it up before we came on, they were 1-for-10 on third down. And Kentucky ran 20 more plays than Ole Miss did. I mean, I bet if you'd have made that bet with Lane before the game, you could have his house. You could have the dog for sure.
Yeah, think about that. I mean, that's a really good point. I mean, Mark Stoops' Kentucky Wildcats ran 20 more offensive plays than Lane Kiffin's Ole Miss Rebels. I mean, that's two opposite styles of football almost. Now, I know Lane's not going as fast as, you know, what Lebby and, of course, you know, Heupel's doing, but I mean – That's almost mind-boggling just to think about that.
Yeah, I mean, it is, but I think at the same time, one of the things that showed up in that game was just the identity still holds true for Ole Miss to this point, right? I mean, a team that can be physical, that can smack you in the mouth early, it seems like in those ball games for them, they kind of go into a little bit of a shell. Those explosives go away, and you know they just don't like to play that style of football. And if you watch much of that game, they got pushed around. Like you said, Eric, they got some pieces up front on the defensive line, and Walter Nolan showed up big at times. But on the offensive line, they got bullied. Deion Walker was in the backfield consistently.
He's a good player.
Yeah, a really good player. Kentucky made, you know, Jackson Dart do a lot of different things outside the pocket, places that he's usually pretty good at. It just didn't work out. But I thought overall for Ole Miss, losing that game, not getting up for it, you've got the stadium striped, you've got the end zones painted with a, you know, the SIP.
Recruiting logo.
It's okay. And you lose the football game.
And then you lose the football game. I thought it was a bad look. I thought more so than that, it was just a really bad look.
Here's why you can't lose that game for Ole Miss, because you go to South Carolina Saturday, which transitive property, that's going to be a pretty tough game. You go to LSU in a couple weeks for a night game in Baton Rouge. You have Georgia on the schedule at home in November. Like, you can't lose those. And it better be a cautionary tale to a lot of teams like Tennessee. Like, you're going to Arkansas. You better handle your business, because if you don't, you can see what happens, especially when you're going on the road at night and all that stuff. Like, you're still playing for a lot. You want to keep playing for a lot. You better take care of your business and be a mature football team. Obviously, it's not a noon home game. You're going on the road to Fayetteville for a night game. But you better be a mature football team and handle your business the way we've seen them handle it at Oklahoma or Kent State or Chattanooga, whoever it is. And you better keep doing that if you want to, you know, stay alive in this race, I guess.
Another very exciting game on the plains the other day. I mean, Peyton Thorne, at least from a statistical standpoint, 338 yards, right? 21 of 31. Not bad. Three touchdowns, but that one interception. Woo, that was the game. Pick six, Kip Lewis takes it to the house. And Rob, again, we don't have to spend a lot of time on this, but you want, if you're Tennessee, you want Oklahoma to just keep on winning. They're very much in figured out mode. Michael Hawkins wasn't fantastic, but, you know, offensively, still kind of what they are. But that defense travels, as we continue to talk about. And that pick six was huge. And if you're Tennessee, you are rooting for Oklahoma every single week.
Yeah, I mean, big win for Oklahoma. And then, you know, I think that they are, you know, I'm not trying to hate on or be critical, but I mean, I think they're getting a taste of the SEC. I mean, if you saw that injury report last week, I mean, that was a welcome to the SEC injury report. And I'm not saying that's the only reason, but, you know, fans of SEC teams have seen those kind of injury reports a couple times every year. I mean, what they have, like, you know, 10 guys out or something, like their top four receivers. So I thought that was a gritty win for Oklahoma, kind of, you know, validation for them. And man, Auburn, whew. I mean, if you're working in sports information for Auburn right now, I mean, you're like jumping in front of microphones with a flak jacket anytime, you know, somebody comes around, Hugh Freeze. I don't want to get sidetracked, but I've never seen anybody say anything like he did last week about if we play Arkansas nine times, we would have beat them nine times. But I love,
but he Coach loves Sam Pittman.
That's one of the most tone deaf, I mean, just unbelievable things I've heard come out of a you know, coach's mouth that's running that level program, making that kind of money.
How many games do you think they need to beat Cal? How many games do you think they need to beat Cal?
Just amazed that he did that. But, you know, again, he's calling all the right plays.
Well, Rob, what did he say on Monday? Didn't he say on Monday that he thought that was one of the best game plans Auburn's ever had against Oklahoma, where they scored 21 points?
I had not had the chance to click on it and go in depth yet. Oh. I saw the headline where he was praising the game plan.
I mean, dude, like, yeah, that's
they're 2-3 after five straight home games. They had five straight home games to open the season. Like, that's crazy. And now you're going to Georgia, and then after a bye week, you go to Missouri. Like, it's bad enough as it is, but it could spiral quickly.
Picked a good time to go to Athens, too.
Yeah, a great time.
One more subject here as we continue on with this Tuesday edition of the VolQuest podcast. Grant, I want to get your thoughts real quick out the door. I know you got to step out a few minutes early, but 4 weeks in, kind of a bye week convo. I get all that, but we're heading back into game week. Biggest surprise from Tennessee that you've seen so far this year? And then counter, if you have one, biggest worry?
Biggest surprise, probably how consistently they've shown up. It doesn't matter if it's Chattanooga. It doesn't matter if it's Kent State. Like 65 on the board in the first half against Kent State, that's crazy. And whatever it was, 50-something against Chattanooga in the first half. To handle NC State the way they did, to handle Oklahoma in that road environment the way they did, to be in control. I mean, I don't think they've trailed this season. I don't know what the stat is there, but they've just been in so much control, it feels like, from the start, and how consistently they've been in control and how kind of mature and gone about their business what they've done through four games. I think that's the biggest reason to be encouraged with this team moving forward, because they've been ready to go since day one out of the gate. The concern is probably offensive tackle, just because of the prisoner of the moment and what we saw at Oklahoma, and you don't have a ton of depth there, and it's hard to play down one tackle or two tackles for anybody, but especially for Tennessee. So that could be solved in Fayetteville and moving forward and be fine. You know, Nico, you don't have to put it on his shoulders. You can win football games without Nico being the star. He's really good, extremely elite talent, elite arm. The way he puts the ball on people and the velocity on his passes and the placement is crazy to me. But you got Dylan Sampson, who's got, you know, 10 rushing touchdowns through four games. Like, that's all that dude does is score touchdowns and get you, you know, moves the chains when you have to move the chains in those ball possession moments. So just the way they've handled their business, both sides of the football, special teams, they've been really consistent. That's been really impressive to me, and I think they're a really good football team. The offensive tackles, though, you don't really know until you see it. So when we see it, we'll get a better gauge of what that's going to look like moving, you know, kind of down the road a little bit.
Yeah, it's a really good point. I mean, again, there's not much to hate on this football team about right now. And, you know, as you go throughout the season, maybe some of those words will pop up. But offensive tackle, because of what happened against Oklahoma, you don't want to be in that situation again. So agree with that. But Matt, I think you made a really, really good point. Like, my biggest surprise, I guess, was going to be not that the defense is good, but not that the defense is consistent, but the fact that they've been so dominant so far this year. But I think that he brings up, you know, doesn't matter who you're playing, Oklahoma on the road, NC State on neutral site, Kent State at home, UTC to begin the season at noon or whatever, 12:45, Tennessee's ready to go. And I think that is a really, really good point. And also, it shows how mature and how veteran-led your football team is. And, you know, not every winning team, championship team's got great locker rooms, but the majority of them do. And I think that stuff matters. And I think Tennessee's got that in the locker room. They're mature, a real mature football team, not just in the position rooms or on the field on the depth chart, but just the way they go about their business.
Yeah, they are. And, you know, I'll go for biggest surprise inside of that defense and how dominant they've been. I think for me, it's Jermaud McCoy. You know, through four games, he's been as good as any quarterback in the country. Now, granted, UTC, Kent State, Oklahoma, and NC State, how much more is he going to get tested down the stretch? A lot. But, you know, you knew that Tennessee had to go get a transfer cornerback, and he is one that has really alleviated some struggles to at least start 2024 in that secondary. A guy that looks like a true number one corner, something that the Vols have needed for some time. So I think for me, it felt like Jermaud McCoy was going to come to Tennessee. He was going to play a lot of football. Given what he did at Oregon State, he was going to make some plays. I just wasn't expecting him to play at as high a level as he has to this point. And then, you know, biggest concern, I think you can beat the offensive tackle depth to death. You know, it's obviously very clear for Tennessee that that's a concern. You know, no matter how, you know, deep and talented that front seven of Oklahoma is, and they are deep and they are talented, a very good unit that can rush the passer and do a lot of different things to stress the offensive line. But yet, you know, like Grant said, that can be, you know, cured as early as this week. Tennessee can get a healthy John Campbell, a healthy Lance Hurd back if both those guys are good to go in Fayetteville and keep moving right along and not have any issues with that. So I think that's a concern. You know, and then I think just overall for Tennessee is just continuing to stay healthy, right? I mean, no matter what, we've talked about Tennessee having more depth, but you can't lose guys at certain spots. And that's a concern for any football team in the country right now, moving forward from Alabama, Georgia, all the way down the board. So,
Rob, you got the last word, man. Surprises, yeah. If you have any concerns for Tennessee football, a pretty good start, 4-0, a third of the way in.
Yeah, mine just echo what you guys have said. I mean, I don't want to dwell on the tackles or offensive tackles very long. And the only reason that's a concern is because of, you know, recency bias, what we just saw. I mean, we saw it. It's, you know, you need both those guys to be healthy, or you need, you know, a couple of guys to be healthy. And defensively, you know, I kind of echo my twist would be, I'm surprised, like you, Eric, at the overall dial. Nobody's surprised at the defensive line. I'm surprised at the linebackers. And I'm not just surprised at Keenan Pilley and Aaron Carter. I'm surprised at, you know, T-Lander. I'm surprised, you know, that Jalen Smith is, you know, is playing. Not just Jermon McCoy, but Ricky Gibson, it looks legit. I mean, it looks like this isn't exactly a high bar. Nobody's going to call this, you know, defensive back university for the past decade. But that's the best pair of corners Tennessee's had in a long time. I mean, again, that's a low bar. But, yeah, just the overall quality of the defense, that's could not be less surprised about the defensive front, but the totality of it on that side of the ball, didn't quite expect that level.
Yeah, you brought up a really, really good point about the linebackers. I won't go as far as to say surprise, because I just thought, like, you didn't have Pelee last year. Aaron Beasley was playing hurt all year long. You lost Aaron Carter. You know, Brian John Marie did the best he could. He was force-feeding those young guys. I thought it was going to be improved, but I will say, I mean, they've been better than I thought they'd be. Keenan Pelee, I know we heard a lot, but Keenan Peely's been so much better than I thought he would. He's a really good football player.
He's way better in space than I thought he would be.
Yeah. And
I'm not surprised that he's a thumper between the tackle. I mean, that's what I thought. But he can make on the perimeter out in space on guys.
And I think Arian Carter is just miles. And again, he's a young player playing as a true freshman last year. I think he's just a different player. He looks different as well, you know, slimming down a little bit. I think Arian Carter's had a really, really good start to his season. So Tennessee's 4-0. Tennessee is off to a great start. Tennessee has rested from the bye week last week. We'll continue practicing, hit the road for the second straight true road game before coming back home for quite some time at Neyland Stadium. It'll be Tennessee and Arkansas. We'll preview that game. We will talk about it from every single angle right here at VolQuest.com from now until kickoff. Big thanks, as always, to our friends over at Exterior Home Solutions for being a part of the show. 865-524-5888. To give them a call today if you have any need for roofing, siding, windows, or a garage, or you can go online at exteriorhomesolutions.com. Big thanks to Grant Ramey, Rob Lewis, Matt Ray. I am Eric Kane. Thank you guys, as always, for joining us here on the Tuesday VolQuest Podcast.
You've been listening to the VolQuest Podcast every week here on VolQuest.